You're listening to the Script Lab Podcast. I'm Shani Edwards.
Today I sit down with director Tom Harper to talk about his beautiful new film, The Aeronauts, starring Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne, who find themselves in an epic fight for survival while attempting to make discoveries in a hot air balloon in the 1800s. Tom talks about crafting the story from true events, filming in the sky in a real hot air balloon, which he says is safer than a helicopter, and how the movie is personal to him. But first, let's hear a clip.
I believe there are answers in the sky. Up there is where I have found the greatest happiness.
Gentlemen, to predict the weather could save hundreds of thousands of lives.
We are scientists, not fortune tellers.
You'll get your chance. They'll realize your worth.
I think they know my worth quite well enough.
Prove them wrong, James.
I'm a really good aeronaut. I want to use what I'm good at.
Women don't belong in balloons.
And she makes such a show of herself.
Miss Wren, I need to make studies of the air.
I'm not a coachman for hire.
You are the only person who could fly us higher than anyone has ever been. So will you?
Hi, Tom. So let's talk The Aeronauts. This movie is really beautiful, and you look to history, correct, to get some inspiration for the story?
Yeah.
And you combined a couple of stories. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about putting the story together.
Well, I first came across the idea because my cinematographer, George Steele, we were actually shooting War and Peace in Russia, and he had heard a snippet of this book that was about to be published, read out on the radio. And so I bought the book and read this flight, and it was about these two people that went to 36,000 feet, and it was such a remarkable achievement. I thought, wow, that would make a fantastic film. But whilst they got to 36,000 feet, kind of the rest of their journey was really, they were sort of just sat in silence taking measurements, which whilst admirable, two people in a basket not talking to each other for 90 minutes obviously doesn't necessarily make the greatest movie. So right from the beginning, I knew that we had to bring in some other elements to the film. So I went and looked back at a whole range of other flights and thought, well, if you took from a number of different flights and you combined them, then you could have this kind of white knuckle roller coaster ride that you sort of take kind of key moments from a number of these flights, and they would and you could create the film that way. So once we knew that we were going to do that, I started thinking, well, who would then be the most interesting characters to have in this basket over the 90 minutes? And there was this incredible woman called Sophie Blanchard, who lived a little bit prior to James Glacier, and she was a flamboyant firecracker of a woman who flew many, many times, and her husband actually died in a tragic ballooning accident, and she was French, and she became Napoleon's head of aeronauting as a sort of propaganda thing. Every time he had a military procession, she would fly, and she eventually tragically set off a firework over Paris from her on a night flight from her balloon, and it went into the hydrogen balloon and exploded, and she fell to her death. So I thought, wow, she is the opposite of James Glacier in many ways, and if you put those two into a basket together and see what happened, then it would be really exciting. So that's sort of how it came about. So everything in the film, I would say sort of 90% of it actually happened at some point or another, but not all at the same time.
Well, it was terrific. Felicity's character, I just fell in love. I loved her showmanship and her, when she threw the dog out of the basket, I literally jumped out of my seat because, you know, you don't think, oh, it's going to have a parachute.
Yeah. And that happened as well. That isn't one of the things that happened. That's all taken from reality.
Wow. Oh my gosh, what a jackpot for a story. The other thing I really loved about the movie is that, especially if you're afraid of heights,
yeah,
like this movie is very, it's, I guess, thrilling is the word, terrifying maybe, I don't know. I was on the edge of my seat. But then I read that you actually shot the actors up in the air.
Yeah, we did. We built a 19th century period accurate balloon, filled it with helium, and up we went in the skies above London. And we did a number of scenes actually in that way. Felicity climbed out of the basket and sat on the hoop at 3,000 feet. We shot someone climbing up the outside of the balloon, again for real. So yeah, we did a lot for real because we always wanted, I always wanted the film to feel as real as possible. And the starting point was to see what we could do for real. And I was actually amazed at how much we were able to do for real. I thought there'd be some insurance problems. There was bound to be at some point, but no, it's amazing that we could do it. And it was wonderful. I loved it.
Well, that was my follow-up question. Your insurance was okay?
I know. I mean, it seems weird, right?
Yes. It's wrong. Yeah. It's
but
very wrong.
I guess people go and fly in balloons, and we fly in planes, we fly in helicopters all the time. And, you know, as long as they're airworthy and have the proper pilots, then... I mean, actually, I think balloons are a lot safer than helicopters. Helicopters give me the heebie-jeebies because it's got so many working parts. And if someone has a heart attack in a helicopter, like the pilot has a heart attack, then you're done for. Whereas in a balloon, you know, you'd think you'd give a good go at landing it, wouldn't you?
I don't know. You are braver than me. So how do you shoot up in the air? Are you in the helicopter?
I'm in the helicopter, yeah. I would prefer to be in the balloon. I wanted to be in the balloon, but because of the weight, we couldn't get me and the cameraman and the... You know, there was limits to how many people we could get in, both physically, just because of how big the basket was, and in terms of weight limit as well.
Now, I also read that you created a cold, frigid set.
We did.
So that you could see their breath.
We did.
But can't you do that digitally?
Well, you can, but it's about performance. That was, you know, of course we wanted to see the breath for real. I mean, actually what ended up happening is we couldn't see the breath enough, so we created a new ice freezer, essentially, and then reshot all the breath and then put it afterwards. But what we did get from the frozen set is performance. And Eddie and Felicity, from the very beginning, were always wanted to... They realized the physical challenge of their performance and wanted to embrace that. And I think you can really tell, and you can see it in the cold, you can see it in the research that they did from the hypoxia training and the pilot training that they did, through to the physical exertion that Felicity puts herself through in climbing the balloon and falling off the balloon and trying to get back in the basket. And I really think that you feel what she's going through all the more because she was going through it, and that was something that she was really insistent about, and I have huge admiration for.
I have huge admiration too for all of you. I mean, that's very, very brave and very, very bold. Tell me about, what is hypoxia training?
Eddie and I went to this Ministry of Defence base in the UK, and they have a decompression chamber there, and you get into this tank, this iron tank essentially, and they start reducing the pressure to make it as though, you know, you're at 25,000 feet, and they leave you there, and you take your oxygen mask off and you start breathing, and then you start losing your faculties and you experience what it's like to have hypoxia, I suppose. And he wanted to kind of go and experience that so that he could draw on that from his performance as they got higher and higher, and he started becoming, because it has all sorts of strange effects on you. You can become quite elated, it can send you slightly insane, it can force you to go into have coning, every person is slightly different. But because James essentially passes out in the journey because of hypoxia, he wanted to have an understanding of what that's like. So they take you kind of to the edge of before you pass out, and then they slap the oxygen mask back on you again.
This is so crazy. And so did you lose your faculties when you did it?
Well, basically what happened was when Eddie did it, he sort of became fervid and very cool and started reciting the lines and really got into it, and it was very impressive. When I did it, I just felt really sick and couldn't remember anything.
Is this what happens when you go to Mount Everest without oxygen?
Yes, similar. Yeah,
similar. Because I've seen the reality shows where these people start to make really bad decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just like that. Yeah. So Did anything surprise you on set? Like, were there any strange revelations, challenges that you weren't expecting?
I think the kind of the lengths that Felicity went to, and the kind of how the physical toll that that took on her, was something that I think neither she nor I realized at the beginning, and we had to sort of allow for that, and that was a kind of really challenging to kind of how we kind of scheduled around that to kind of give her the support that she needed. I think flying was a real challenge across the board, both in terms of the practicalities, but also just the weather. You know, for a film about the weather, we were very dependent upon the weather, and you need the right conditions in order to fly. The wind needs to be a certain level, but if you've got a whole film crew standing by, that can be a very expensive, worrisome thing. So we did a lot of looking and worrying at weather apps. Yes, I think it was just everything. The whole thing felt like a bit of a challenge. Like every day felt like an enormous challenge, to be honest. But it was fun. You know, it was. There's nothing more exciting than for a filmmaker. You know, or for this film, it's got a lot of wonder in it, and that I felt like a real strong connection to kind of the childhood wonder that I felt going to the cinema, seeing a lot of, you know, those early Spielberg or even David Lean, or, you know, like, and so this film was really about, I felt a great sense of wonder all the time, being able to build a gas air balloon and to fly that and to have these thoughts and see them come to life, you know, the butterflies or... And that was just such a pleasure that kind of, yes, there was enormous challenges, but every day there was great sense of wonder as well.
Well, I wanted to ask how the movie is personal to you. What made you say, I must make this film?
I think there's probably a few reasons. I mean, the first is I was really struck by the extreme lengths that people went to expand our knowledge of the world, and I found that very inspiring. I've always been interested in the weather. It's not the most glamorous of interests, but my grandfather was forever sort of disappearing out of the house and checking the temperature, and had sort of crackpot theories about what certain clouds meant, and some of it was real, and, you know, he was a Navy man, so some of it was based on life experience, some of it was hocus pocus, and some of it was based on kind of real observations, I think. And I don't know, maybe it just wore off on me. But I was also just amazed by how far we've come, really. You know, in I think 1852 or early 1850s, 170 years ago, you know, not that long, really, someone stood up in the Houses of Parliament in the UK and suggested that it might be possible to predict the weather 24 hours in advance. And not only were they sort of laughed at for such a ridiculous proposition of fortune telling, they were kicked out of the House of Commons. So, you know, really our whole mindset as to what's possible and has completely changed. And it makes me think, what new challenges lie before us? What things do we think of now that are completely ridiculous will in the future become reality? And I think we, as humans, we face enormous challenges. But when we come together and put our minds to things, it's amazing what we can accomplish. And I love the way that cinema can provide that sort of remind us of the wonderful things that we can do, as well as the terrible things we can do as well.
That's a good point. One of the terrible things we can do. Just hearing you talk, I was thinking driverless cars, yeah. Self-driving cars, because they are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really do think that probably in 20 years' time, they'll be like, our kids will be like, hang on, you did what? You got in the car and they let you just drive them around and like crash into people? Well, like, didn't loads of people die? And you'd be like, yeah.
Yes, loads of people died. So what are you working on next?
I've got all sorts of things bubbling. In the vein of sort of inspiring, heartwarming stuff, I'm actually working on an adaptation of this book called A Gentleman in Moscow, which is a wonderful book about a man who's put under house arrest in Moscow during the Russian Revolution, working on that with Ken Branagh,
nice.
Who play the Count, and that's in the pipeline.
So going back to War and Peace, I mean, you're really attracted to Russia.
I am actually. Before War and Peace, I didn't really have much knowledge about Russia or Russian history, and I wasn't particularly drawn to it. But now I do feel that it's such a fascinating, extraordinary country with so much sort of cultural heritage that it is. But I didn't make an active choice to develop Gentleman Moscow because it was Russia. It just happened to be a wonderful story in a book that I read that was very inspiring by an American author, Amor Tulls, and it's just a wonderful story.
I just watched Catherine the Great on HBO, and it's amazing. They're talking about the Crimea and like how relevant it is to today. I mean, this is an area we're still fighting over.
Yeah, I know. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. Well, I wish you nothing but the best of luck with the Aeronauts. I can't
Thank
wait
you.
To see it again. It's a beautiful film, and so you're on the edge of your seat, exciting. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great talking to you.